إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhni Allahi ta'ala, this is our 9th session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam by Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan hafidhahullah. And tonight our topic is very, very important, as is each one of them, but extremely sensitive matter that I believe most of us I need to pay more careful attention to. And our topic tonight is acknowledging or recognizing the rights of parents. And this is important for those who have parents that are living, as well as those who have parents that are no longer here. Nobody is off the hook. Everybody has parents, whether they're living or they've passed away. And they have rights. And it's incumbent upon us to recognize and to acknowledge those rights and then to act upon it. Before we look at our topic for tonight, and we may go further to the next characteristic that the Shaykh mentions, and that is having care and concern about one's family members, children, and parents in the following chapter. Before we look at our topic for tonight, we want to review quickly the questions remaining from last week, study guide lecture number 7 questions. We want to review them quickly and then immediately get into our topic for tonight. The first question is, give one proof, one dalil, that can be an encouragement for yourself, an encouragement for you, in al-musara'a, hastening to al-khayrat, the doing of good deeds. One dalil that is an encouragement for you. Naam, Abu Sa'id. The messengers, alayhi wasalam, did not postpone doing good deeds. Naam. Abu Jamil. Naam, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, which ayah? Anybody know? 1? I didn't hear what you said, whoever said something. 133, huh? Tayyib. Tayyib. What is the meaning of this ayah, Akhi? Wasari'u. Okay. Surah Ali Imran. Sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Naam. To hasten. Naam. To hasten. To what? The forgiveness of your Lord. And the a Jannah that is with is as the width of the heavens and the earth. Naam. To the end of those ayats. Very, very beautiful. We should look at those ayats that follow where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those people that this Jannah has been prepared for. Al-Muttaqeen. Naam. Anyone else? Any other dalil? Naam. Musa. إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات. نعم. ويدعوننا رغبا ورحبا. نعم. What is the meaning? They used to hasten in doing khayrat, good deeds, and they used to call upon us رغبا ورحبا, يعني having hope and desire for what is with Allah and fear, yani, of His, yani, punishment. These ayats, yani, are from amongst the ayats that indeed are an encouragement for us. I think the Shaykh mentioned one other ayat. Naam. Surah Al-Hadid. Naam. Similar meaning as the previous ayat in Surah Ali Imran. Sabiqu wa sabiqu. وَسَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. نعم. And all of this, يعني hastening, racing, competing with one another and doing and seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking the Jannah that He has prepared for the people who believe in Him and who believe in His messengers and the people of taqwa. These are encouragements for us to hasten without delay in doing good. The second question mentioned the three aspects of Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah's explanation of Al-Musara'a. And Imam Sa'di, he mentioned three things, three aspects of Al-Musara'a in his tafsir of this ayat, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. Anybody remember? One of them. Naam, Shu'aib. That they would do it in the proper time, in its best time. يعني أوقاتها الفاضلة, the preferable times. They will hasten to doing the good deeds in the best times to do them. Not just any time, but in the best times. In the best times. نعم. And in the best manner. يعني doing them perfectly and completely in the manner that is يعني على الوجه اللائق. يعني الذي ينبغي, that which is expected and preferable and proper from the believer to do them يعني in that manner. نعم. And thirdly, نعم. Abdullah? Naam, that they never abandoned doing a virtuous deed that they were capable of doing, except that they took advantage of the opportunity to do them. And this is very important, yani, in understanding a complete and comprehensive meaning of al-musara'a. Yani, that a person hasten to do those deeds in their best times, and that they do those deeds in the best manner, in the manner that is most fitting and proper and befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that we're offering to Him. And that they never abandon a good deed that they're capable of doing, except that they take advantage of the opportunity to do it. This is very, very important for us to reflect upon and to apply to ourselves in our real life. The third question is a brief question. What are the two types of ahd, covenant or agreement mentioned by the author, Hafidhullah? What are the two types of ahd that the author has mentioned? Two types. Naam. Adam. That's Adam? Huh? Uh-huh. Naam. Al-Ahd ma'Allah wal-Ahd ma'Nas. And the covenant that you make with Allah and the covenant that you make with the people. And both of these are required for us to be fulfilled. Both of them. Some people might imagine as long as they fulfill their agreement with Allah, later for the people, and they abuse the rights of the people, and they violate the rights of the people. They make promises and agreements and contracts, and they don't fulfill them. They forget, as long as I'm making my salat five times a day and I'm fasting in Ramadan, people don't have any rights. No, this is not Islam. This is not Islam. Yani Allah has rights, and His creatures also have rights that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has legislated, and they must be fulfilled. Discuss the ahd or the covenant of Allah with the earlier prophets alayhimus salam as mentioned in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 81st Ayat. The covenant that Allah made with the earlier prophets. Name Ahmed.
Naam. طيب.
Anybody want to add to that a little bit? يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a covenant with the Prophet that if they that after he has given to them kitab wa hikmah, that if a prophet comes to them confirming, يعني رسول مصدق لما معكم, with that which is with them, then they must believe in him and they must support him. And also their ummah, their followers, the people who believe them, must support them. Naam. Anybody want to add to it further? Naam. And they adhered to the covenant and they fulfilled it. Naam. Yani they agreed to it and they also called their followers, the believers who believed in Allah in their time, yani they also called them to this covenant. Naam. Yani Allah asked them, do you accept? Naam. And he told them to bear witness and that he is along with them as one of those who bear witness. فَاشْحَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. So this is an extremely yani heavy responsibility, a covenant agreement that Allah made with the prophets that if they are living when the Prophet Muhammad comes, then they must believe in him and they must support him and they must follow him. They must follow him. Naam. To the end of that discussion that we don't have time to go into any further detail tonight with. Question number 5. Which Prophet, alayhi salam, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make special mention of in reference to keeping promises? And in which ayah? Which Prophet was it? Naam, Shuaib. Ismail, alayhi salam. Naam. In which ayah? Somebody. Naam. Surah to Maryam. Naam. 19th surah. In case somebody wasn't here, 54th ayat. Yani, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about Ismail? Huh? Nah, wadhkur fil kitab Ismail. We mentioned in the book, yani Ismail. What about him? Innahu kana sadiq al-wa'd, rasul al-nabiyya. Sadiq al-wa'd. He was truthful in fulfilling the promise that he made. And he was a messenger and a prophet. Naam. Sadiq al-Wahd. And this, of course, we know that this applies to him especially, but it also applies to all the prophets and messengers. That they fulfill their promises. And that's why they are an example for us. They were an example for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He followed their example as Allah commanded him, and we follow their example in following him. And after this, question number 6, discuss the general meaning of the hadith in which breaking promises is related to nifaq, hypocrisy. What is the meaning of this hadith? And if you didn't memorize the hadith, at least what's the meaning of the hadith? Naam, Abu Sa'id. I didn't hear the first part of what you said. Okay, that there are some traits, if you have one of them, then what? Then you have a trait of hypocrisy. Naam. That's the end of the hadith. What about the beginning of it? Naam, ya Abdullah. Naam, there are four traits, four characteristics. Whoever has them, then they are pure hypocrite. Kana munafiqan khalisan. Naam, pure hypocrite. And what are those four characteristics? One, إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. The Shaykh, he mentioned this. But what are the ones that is in the hadith before that? When he speaks, he lies. And when he promises, he breaks a promise. And when he makes a covenant, he's treacherous. He violates it. Naam. And when he argues or disputes with someone, he uses obscene language. Naam. The point from this hadith is what? That when he makes a promise, he breaks it. This is from the characteristics of the hypocrite. Whoever have any one of those characteristics, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has one of them has a characteristic of hypocrisy until he leaves it. This is for something for us to think about. Whoever has any one of these characteristics, we need to yani escape from it. And the last question, mention one of the sayings of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors, رحمهم الله, concerning making promises and breaking promises. Mention one of those sayings. We mentioned about 5 of them at least. Now, Abu Jamil. Now, إذا جئتني فرأيتني لقيتني. Meaning what? Yeah, he said, promise me. He said, will you promise to meet me? He said, إِذَا جِدْتَنِي, if you came to me, فَرَأَيْتَنِي, and you saw me, لَقِيتَنِي, then you have met me. Now, but as far as me making a promise, not making any promises. Because they understood that if you make a promise, you have to keep it. You have to keep it. As far as, and we make promises, like we breathe air and drink water. Now, another thing. Now, Abu Sa'id, now. They used to avoid making promises for fear of breaking them, for fear of breaking the promise. Now. Now, Musa. Now, one of the Salaf, he was narrating a hadith, narrating a question that he gave to Ahmed ibn Hanbal, to his son, to Ahmed's son, Abdullah. Now, he asked Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, how do you know the liars? Bimawa'idihim. How do you know them? Bimawa'idihim. By their promises that they don't keep. By their promises that they don't keep. Naam. And there were others. There were others. Naam, Ya Abdullah. Naam, Awf ibn Nu'man. Khayran lahu minan. من أن يكون مخلاف الوعد. نعم. That a person, the people from Jahiliyyah, he said, Juhala, the Juhala from Ayyam Jahiliyyah, they used to say that, or they used to believe that for a person to die of thirst is better for him than to break the promise. Than to break a promise. These are some of the things that are reminded to us of the importance of keeping promises, of the severity and seriousness of it, and how important we should hold it. Tonight, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, our topic, or at least the beginning of our topic, is dear to me, and I hope that inshallah it will be of benefit as a reminder to me and every one of us, brothers and sisters, those who are young and those who are old. Those who are young, whose parents are with them, over them, and those who are old, whose parents might not be with them, whose parents might not be with them. And the proof that even if your parents have passed away, this is applicable, is that the Prophet ﷺ, didn't see either of his parents. But nonetheless, he fulfilled the rights of parents. Naam. The Shaykh, he says, the seventh characteristic of the Prophets, ma'rifatuhum, alayhi salam, haqq al-walidain. Yani their acknowledgement. Recognition of the right of parents. This is from the characteristics of the Prophets, alayhi salatu wassalam. And I just remind myself and each of us of the status of the Prophets, alayhi salam, that they are the best of humanity. They have the highest position and station in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of number one, because of what? First and foremost, because of Iman. Because Iman gives the person the highest level amongst all of humanity. And secondly, because of ilm, because the people of knowledge from the believers are in the highest status of the people, and the levels of the people of knowledge from the people of Iman are different, and the highest of them in level of the people of knowledge from the people of Iman are the Prophets. And these are our example. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet to take them as an example, and we are ordered to take him as an example. So it's incumbent upon us to hold this to ourselves, that they are our example. And tonight we'll look at just quickly a few examples of how the Prophets and Messengers, alayhi salam, how they recognized, acknowledged, and acted upon fulfilling the rights of parents. Naam. If we have parents who are living, it becomes more critical for us. But even if they have passed away, we are not free. ومن أخلاق الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام معرفة حق الوالدين وفي شأن مقام الوالدين يقال. From the character of the Prophets, alayhimus salatu wassalam, is their acknowledgement, recognition of the right of parents. And in this affair, وَفِي شَعْنِ مَقَامِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, yani concerning the station and the status and the importance of the parents, it is said, لَقَدْ تَحَاوَنَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ بِأَمْرِ الْبِرِّ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ وَأَحْمَلُوا شَعْنَهُ وَهَذَا مِنَ الْخُطُورَةِ بِالْمَكَانِ. That indeed, many of the people have attached little importance to hawan. Many of the people have attached little importance to this matter of bir al bir bil walidain, yani of being kind and generous and good to parents. Many of the people have been careless in this matter, have neglected this matter, think little of it, don't give it much importance. And may Allah protect us from being amongst those people who don't imagine that the rights of parents, that being kind to parents is important. May Allah protect us from being amongst those people who have overlooked and neglected this matter. And this is of the most serious of matters. من الخطورة بالمكان. Extremely serious, dangerous affair. And here the Shaykh mentions some of the harms of disobedience to parents, yani of failing to fulfill the rights of parents, of uquq al-walidain, disobedience to parents, not being kind and charitable and good to one's parents. And he says, فَكَمْ حَدَمَ أُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ مِنَ الْبُيُوتِ. How many houses, homes, how many homes, not buildings, how many homes were destroyed because of disobedience to parents? This requires some discussion. We don't have time to discuss it, but just think about it. How many homes, families were destroyed because of disobedience to parents? Yani many. That's the meaning of come. Yani come, this is not come. Yani it's not asking a question. It's come, yani that is making a statement. وَكَمْ فَرَّكَ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. And how many times were a husband and wife separated because of disobedience to parents? وَكَمْ أَفْقَرَ مِنْ عُنَاسٍ. And how many people were impoverished, yani made poor, due to disobedience to parents? وَكَمْ أُذِّبَ بِسَبَبِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ عُنَاسٍ. And how many of the people were punished in this world due to disobedience to parents? And the Shaykh, he says finally, وَحَقُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And the right of parents in the next life, in the hereafter, in front of Allah is azim. Yani how many homes were destroyed? How many marriages were destroyed? How many people were impoverished? How many people were punished in this world? Not to mention that this affair of the rights of parents in the hereafter, in front of Allah, is azim. It is tremendous, weighty, extremely important in front of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We'll be called to account for it. Here the Shaykh mentions yani a number of examples, just quick passing examples of some of the prophets, and we're going to quickly go through them inshallah so that we can finish. And today I'm going to try to summarize as much as possible so that we can move on. وَقَدْ كَانَ أَنْبِيَاءُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهُمُ السَّلَامُ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ. Indeed, the prophets of Allah عَلَيْهُمُ السَّلَامُ, they were the most righteous, kind and charitable of the people to their parents. The prophets, in their relation with their parents, were the best example of birr walidain. They were the best example of righteousness and kindness and goodness to parents. He mentions Nuh in Surah Nuh, the 71st Surah, 28th Ayat, 71-28. قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ. And the Shaykh mentions what? The dua of Nuh alayhi salam, when he said, Oh my Lord, forgive me and my two parents. And my two parents. Forgive me and my... He didn't just pray for himself, but this is important. This is part of birr walidain, that you pray for your parents. Especially if they are not Muslims, or if they have already passed away. وَكَانَ مُسْلِمَيْنِ. But here the Shaykh says what? وَكَانَ مُسْلِمَيْنِ. But his two parents, the two parents of Nuh, they were Muslims. But what if our parents are not Muslims? Some of us, our parents may not be Muslims. Naam, still. And we have obligation towards them, especially if they are living. He used to pray, "Oh Allah, forgive me and forgive my parents." Wa Yahya, in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 14th Ayat. قال الله عز وجل عنه وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا. يعني يحيى عليه السلام, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, from amongst his characteristics, he said, بَرًّا بِوَالِدَيْهِ. He was kind to his two parents. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا. He was not arrogant, harsh with them. لَمْ يَكُنْ جَبَّارًا عَصِيًّا, or disobedient. Huh? So what does that mean? If he wasn't arrogant and disobedient, he was what? He was humble and obedient. That's what's expected of us. He was humble and obedient. And Isa alayhi salam, in Surah Maryam also, 19th Surah, 32nd Ayat, وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي. Yani, that he was kind and righteous, yani, بِوَالِدَتِي, to my mother, meaning his mother, right? Why only to his mother? Naam. Because this is what we believe as Muslims, indeed, that Isa alayhi salam did not have a father. Sulaiman alayhi salam, in Surah An-Naml, 28th Surah, 19th Ayat, Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayi. He also supplicated for himself, and he didn't forget about his parents. Oh my Rabb, awzi'ni, inspire me and enable me to be thankful for the blessings which you have bestowed upon me and upon my two parents. And Yusuf alayhi salam, kana barran bi Ya'qub. Surah Yusuf, 12 Surah, 99 and 100. He was kind and obedient and good to Ya'qub, his father. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفَ آوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. Yani when his family came to Egypt, when he sent for them, told them, bring your family. When they entered upon him, Yusuf brought to himself, brought close to him his parents. آوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. His parents, he brought them close to him. وَقَالُوا دُخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. And he said, enter, all of you, into Egypt, inshallah, in security, safe and secure. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. And he raised his two parents upon the throne. Naam, he honored them. He honored them. Subhanallah. And Ya'qub, the Shaykh says, وَيَعْقُوبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ كَانَ بَرًّا بِإِسْحَاقِ. He was kind and righteous and obedient and dutiful to Ishaq, his father, alayhi salam. Wa Ismail wa Ishaq, alayhi salam, kana barraini bi Ibrahim. And Ismail and Ishaq, both of them, they were kind and dutiful to their father, Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Wa Ibrahim kana barran bi abihi, a'azam al barr, wa huwa kafir. Naam. And Ibrahim, he was dutiful to his father with the greatest type of barr, while his father was a kafir. Wa kana kafir. His father was what? He was a kafir. And it might be said, كيف يكون إبراهيم برا بأبيه مع أن أباه على غير دينه. How is it possible that Ibrahim could have been dutiful and kind and righteous to his father, while his father was on a deen other than his deen? Yani his father was not upon Islam. His father was not upon Tawheed. So how could he have been, yani, barr, yani, to him? How could he have been dutiful to him, kind to him, charitable to him? Yani, how could that be? And this is important, yani, because in this society especially, many of the Muslims in this society, many of us, our parents may not be Muslim. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father was not a Muslim. So it is said that Ibrahim alayhi salam khataba abahu faqala, that when he addressed his father, he said, as narrated in Surah Maryam, 42nd to 45th ayat, 42 to 45. Listen to the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he addressed his father who was a mushrik. Ya abati, O my dear father. Yani this word is a word of endearment, of humility and humbleness. It's showing the station of a son to their father. Yani showing that I am your son and you are my father. He's recognizing his status, even though he's a kafir. And some of us imagine our parents are kafirs, and we say whatever we say about them. Ya abati. He appealed to him with this word of endearment. Lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. Why do you worship something that doesn't hear, cannot hear, nor can it see, nor can it avail you in anything? La yughni anka shay'a. You get no benefit from this thing that you're worshiping. He's appealing to his father. Yani, from his intellect, ya abati, from endearment and kind word, and then asking him, just think, why are you worshiping something that can't hear, it can't see, and it doesn't benefit you in any way whatsoever? He went on, ya abati, inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tika, fattabi'ani ahdika siratan sawiyya. Ya abati, again, oh my dear father, indeed it has come to me knowledge which has not come to you. So follow me and I will guide you to the straight way. I have some knowledge that you don't have. And perhaps there's something you don't have. You don't know this. Listen to what I have to say. And then you will be guided to the straight way. Ya abati, la ta'bud ash-shaytana, inna ash-shaytana kana lir-rahmani asiyya. Oh my dear father, do not. Yani in the first ayat he said, لِمَا تَعْبُدُ. Why are you worshipping? In this ayat he said, لَا تَعْبُدُ. Yani لَا نَاهِيَ. He's saying, don't do it. لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. لَا نَاهِيَ. This means he's telling his father, don't worship shaitan. Don't worship shaitan. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ. Indeed, shaitan is to ar-Rahman asiyyah, a rebellious, disobedient one. Why don't worship shaitan? Because shaitan is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worship him. He is disobedient to Ar-Rahman. And finally he said, fourth time, Ya abati, inni akhafu ayyamassaka azabun min ar-Rahmani fatakuna lishaytan waliyya. Oh my dear father, indeed, I fear that a punishment from Ar-Rahman will afflict you. Yamassaka. عَذَابٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَانِ. I fear that a punishment, a terrible punishment will overtake you from Ar-Rahman. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّ. And then you will be, يعني, a companion, a supporter, a helper of shaitan. The Shaykh analyzed these words briefly, and it's يعني, trying to follow it, inshallah. And if you think about what he has said here, and in the first ayat he told him, why? He's asking him, why are you worshipping something that is of no benefit to you? And the second ayat, he's telling him that I have some knowledge that you don't have. Let me guide you, and you will be guided aright. And in the third ayat, he's telling him, do not worship shaitan. Do not worship shaitan. For indeed, shaitan is disobedient to Ar-Rahman. And in the last ayat, he's telling him, I fear for you a punishment. A punishment may overtake you from Ar-Rahman, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be a companion of a shaitan. Is there any, this is Ibrahim talking to his father who's a mushrik, is there any type of kindness, righteousness, dutifulness to a disobedient person? And his father was disobedient, he was a mushrik. Disobedient to Allah, and yet he was, yani, dutiful to him. Is there any dutifulness to a disobedient one that is better than this, displayed by Ibrahim alayhi salam? Is there any ibarat, yani, expressions of bunuwa, yani sonship, yani from the position of the one who's the son who recognized their father, ila maqam al-ubuwa. Yani, are there any expressions that a son can express to their father? Araqqu wa arhamu wa altafu wa ahkamu min hadhihi al-kalimat. Yani araqqu, that is what? More delicate. Wa arhamu, more merciful. Wa altafu, kinder or nicer. وَأَحْكَمُ, wiser than these kalimat. And this is also an important point for us to consider in addressing your parents. Try to use, yani, gentleness, kindness, mercy, and wisdom in the words that you address to your parents. Some of us, we don't know how to talk to our parents, and we wonder why we get the response that we get. And then we blame it on they're ignorant, or they're kafirs, or they whatever. But perhaps it's from us that we haven't been gentle, humble, merciful, wise in the selection of words and the way that we address them. And I say this because some of our parents are not Muslims, wallahu musta'an, and if they died on kufr because we didn't fulfill the duty that is upon us to them, it's a serious, weighty matter. Some of the scholars of tafsir, rahimahumullah, they said, تَلَطَّفَ الْخَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامَ بِهِ وَخَاطَبَهُ بِعَرَقُّ الْخِطَابِ, that al-Khalil, that is Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was extremely gentle and kind with his father, and he spoke to him with the, yani, the most delicate type of speech. وَقَدْ تَحَبَّبَ الْخَلِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ إِلَىٰ بِهِ أَرْبَعَ مَرَّاتٍ بِقَوْلِهِ يَا عَبَتِي. And he has sought to get near, yani, close to his father 4 times by using this expression, يَا أَبَتِي, O my dear father. مُبَيِّنًا لَهُ خَطَاهُ, making clear to him his error. Making clear to him is his error. And he, why are you worshipping something that can't see, that can't hear, that can't benefit you in any way? He made clear to him, crystal clear, what is his error. وَعَظِيمُ وَخَمْ الْعَاقِبَةِ, and he made clear to him also the danger or the seriousness, the magnitude of, yani, the evil consequences of his behavior, his course of action. That I fear that they will come to you, يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ, that a punishment from Ar-Rahman will afflict you. And he also, وَأَنَّ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ, and he let him know that he has some knowledge, قَدْ خَفِيَ عَلَىٰ بِهِ, that his father didn't know about, yani, knowledge of Tawheed, the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to him to guide the people with. And he continued with him. Rather, he sought forgiveness for him, حتى نهاه الله, yani, up until the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited him from seeking his forgiveness. As mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 114th Ayah, وَمَا كَانَ إِسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ, that this seeking, yani, Ibrahim alayhi salam seeking forgiveness for his father was only due to a promise that he had made to him, that he would continue to seek forgiveness for him unless Allah prohibited him. فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ, but when it became clear to him that his father was an enemy to Allah, meaning that his father refused to submit and surrender and preferred to die on shirk, when it became clear, the matter was decided, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ, then he freed himself from him in the end. But that was after pleading with him and coming to him in every way possible to convince him to rectify his affair and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in submission. And finally, the Shaykh mentions the last example. That is the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَقَدْ كَانَ بَرًّا بِأَبَوَيْهِ, indeed he was dutiful to his parents. وَقَدْ يُقَالْ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ وَقَدْ مَاتَ أَبَوَاهُ قَبْلَ الْبِعْثَ, and it may be said, how is that possible that he was dutiful to his parents when both of them died before he was missioned, and before he was a prophet? فَيُقَالْ أَلَيْسَ قَدْ إِسْتَعَذَنَا, yani, in reference to his mother, the Shaykh says, yani, we can say, or it can be said, أَلَيْسَ قَدْ إِسْتَعَذَنَا رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يَزُورَ قَبْرَ أُمِّهِ فَأَذِنَ لَهُ وَاسْتَعَذَنَهُ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهَا فَأَبَى عَلَيْهِ, yani, indeed, he did ask permission from his Rabb to visit the grave of his mother, and he granted him permission to visit the grave. And he asked permission to seek forgiveness for her, but that was refused. He was not given permission to seek forgiveness for her. Fabaka alayhi salam bukaan shadeedan hatta abka man hawlahu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Allah refused to grant him permission to seek forgiveness for his mother, he cried so much that he caused the people who were around him also to cry. As is mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah in the Sahih of Muslim. And in reference to his father, how was he dutiful to his father who died before he was born? وَأَنَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ كَانَ بَارًا بِعَامَامِهِ. Yani it was through being dutiful and kind to his uncles. يعني عمامه, يعني the عم of a person is what? His paternal uncle, يعني his father's brother. So he was dutiful to his father's brothers, even though some of them were not Muslims. And in the hadith, it is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sahih of Muslim, also from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, عَمُّ الرَّجُلِ صِنْوُ أَبِيهِ, that the عَم, the paternal uncle of a person, yani one's father's brother, is the sinwu abihi. Yani sinwu abihi means, yani sinwu abihi literally means one of the two, yani one, the twin, one of two twins. Yani the sinwu abihi means the twin of his father. Yani the, yani a twin is like what? Yani one part of something that's one. Yani there's two parts, but they are one. And that's the way a person's, yani father's brother, the am, is like the twin of your father. The Shaykh says the meaning of sinwu abihi a fi maqami abihi. Yani that he is in the same station, the same position, has the same status of his father. Yani your father is not here, does he have a brother? Yani, or even we know the Prophet ﷺ was dutiful not only to his parents, yani relatives, brothers or whatever, but even to their friends. Even to their friends or whoever was beloved by them. They don't have a relative left, do they have a friend? Yani being dutiful to that person, kind to that person, yani on behalf of your parent, then this is recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِعَمَامِهِ. And he was, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the most dutiful of all people to his uncles. وَهُمْ فِي مَقَامْ أَبِيهِ. While they have the same status as his father, like a father to him. وَأَمَامَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ انْقَسَمُوا إِلَىٰ أَقْسَامٍ ثَلَاثَةٍ. And the uncles of the Prophet, the paternal uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were divided into three divisions. قَسْمٌ آمَنَ بِهِ وَنَصَرَهُ. One division from those who believed in him and supported him. Believed in him and supported him. Like who? Like, huh? Abbas and Hamza radiallahu anhuma. Like Abbas and Hamza. وَقِسْمٌ نَصَرَهُ وَلَكِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ. And another division of them is that one who nasarahu, supported him, walam yu'min bihi, but didn't believe in him. Yani the first group of what? They believed him and they supported him. And the second category is the one who supported him but didn't believe in him, and that is who? Abu Talib. Jazakallahu khair. What's your name again? Hamza. I thought it was Hamza. I just want to make sure. Hamza. Naam, Hamza. Jazakallahu khair. I think he's the first one who gave the answer. Naam. Supported him but did not believe in him. Like that was Abu Talib. And the third division, Adahu wa harabahu wa adahu. Yani who opposed him and made war against him and caused harm to him. And that was who? Abu Lahab. La'natullah alayhi. وما هذا كله كان عليه الصلاة والسلام برا بهم حريصا على هدايتهم حتى إنه بقي عند فراش عمه أبي طالب حتى خرجت روحه وهو يقول له يا عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله. And in spite of all of this, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was dutiful to them, and he was eager and diligent in seeking their guidance, that they be guided, to the extent that he remained at the bedside of his uncle Abu Talib until his soul, yani, came out of his body. And he was saying to him, until that moment that his soul left his body, O uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, a word that I will be able to, yani, speak in your behalf, through it, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, I will be able to use this word to defend you, to speak up for you, to intercede for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As reported in Bukhari and Muslim. أَرَأَيْتَ هَذَا بَرَّ الْعَظِيمِ, yani, look at this tremendous, great, magnificent, yani, barr, dutifulness, righteousness, yani, that is intended for one's parent, but it is given to, yani, whoever is in their place. مَا زَالَ مَا عَمِّهِ حَتَّى خَرَجَتْ رُوحُهُ, yani, he remained at his side, at his uncle, Abu Talib, he remained with him until his soul came out of his body. فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَى عَنْكَ, and I will continue definitely, certainly, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ, I will definitely seek forgiveness for you as long as I am not prohibited from doing so. And this hadith also reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, وَكَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يُجِلُّ حَمْزَةُ وَالْعَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, that the Prophet ﷺ used to honor, he used to show reverence. For who? For Hamza radiallahu anhu and Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu. فَيُجِلُّ حَمْزَةُ radiallahu anhu فِي حَيَاتِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسْتَشْهَدُ, and he used to honor and show reverence and veneration and in high esteem for Hamza in his lifetime before he was martyred. وَيُجِلُّ عَلَى عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَيُخَاطِبُهُ يَعَمُّ, and he used to honor also and hold in high esteem Al-Abbas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, and he used to speak to him saying يَا عَمَّ, yani, O uncle, وَيَقْبَلْ شَفَاعَتَهُ, and he used to accept his intercession, yani, if Abbas came to him to intercede on somebody's behalf, the Prophet ﷺ accepted that intercession on behalf of that person, in honor of his father through his uncle. And the Shaykh closes this section by saying that he used to honor his uncles Hamza radiallahu anhu and Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he used to address them with words of respect and honor, and he used to accept the intercession of his uncle Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu. وهذه من عظم البر من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is a manifestation of the greatest form of dutifulness, yani, that is due to one's parents, reflected here in the case of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his father's brothers. And we'll take some of the time, inshallah, up to the comment to start the next topic, because it's a lengthy topic and we won't be able to finish in one session, so we're going to take a little bit of it tonight, inshallah, and we'll complete it in the next class. And that is hirsuhum alayhim assalam ala awladihim wa ahlihim. And this topic is related to the previous topic, that is the diligence and eagerness of the Prophets alayhi wasalam in seeking protection of their children and their family members and their parents. Yani, hirsihim, eagerness and diligence in the protection and guarding of their children. And this is also critical for us, whoever has children, yani, our responsibility to take care of our children, to protect them, to educate them and to screen them, yani, from the harms and filth and corruption of the dunya. And our family members, our children especially, our family members in general, and again our parents, from the character of the Prophets ﷺ, that they were the most diligent and eager and earnest of all the people in the protection of their children, their family members, and their parents. And we'll just mention one or two examples, yani, so that yani next week, inshallah, we'll hopefully be able to finish this topic. Nuh alayhi salam, from the extreme baligh inayatihi, extreme care, intensive care of Nuh alayhi salam, bi ahli baytihi, of the members of his house, yani his family members, annahu ma zala yadu ibnahu yasta'atifuhu wa yuraqibuhu liyarkaba ma'ahu fi safinati an-najah, yani that he continued to call yani upon his son, to call him, to invite him and to implore him yani with compassion, to encourage him to aboard the safinat al-najah, yani the ship of safety or salvation, to board the ship of those who would be saved from the destruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is mentioned in one place in the Quran, yani in one of the places in the Quran, in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 42nd ayat, he said, Ya bunayya, irqab ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. O my dear son, board with us, yani get on the ship with us, and don't be with the disbelievers. Nuh alayhi salam, he's concerned that his son is going to be lost and he's going to be destroyed. He said, oh my dear son, ride with us, board with us, and don't be with the disbelievers. And in spite of all of this, yani his son's disobedience and rejection of his advice and disobedience to him and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't abandon him, but he continued to call him and to yani entreat him and implore him with kindness and gentleness and compassion, with hope that perhaps he would respond. However, this son or that son continued in his disobedience. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Hud, 43rd ayat, Sa'awi ila jabalin ya'asimuni min al-ma, that I will seek refuge in the mountain and it will protect me from the water. Wama rahmati ubuwati wal hirs ala dharriya, and even along with this compassion and mercy of the fatherhood and his eagerness and diligence on his offspring, he still had to conclude, yani Nuh alayhi salam, he said, قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ, that there is no protection today from the command of Allah, the affair of Allah, except whom Allah is merciful upon. And he continued with him, not abandoning him, until Allah closed the matter, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجِ, until the waves came between them, وَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ, and he became one of those who were drowned in the destruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a good example of a parent who didn't give up on their child. Some of us, if our children are disobedient, we abandon them quickly. We become frustrated with them and we kick them out. And perhaps, keeping them close to you, even though it may be difficult to bear their disobedience and their wrongdoing and their ill behavior, keeping them close to you might allow you to have a chance to influence them and perhaps save them. But distancing yourself from them does not help the matter. It does not help the matter. Unless you have no choice. But Nuh alayhi salam, he didn't give him up until what? Until Allah decided the matter. Until Allah decided the matter. And Ibrahim, and we'll stop with this example, alayhi salam, from his eagerness and diligence upon his family and his offspring, is that he supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give to his offspring the gift of what Allah has given to him. That Allah give to his offspring the gift that he has given to him. He supplicated. Yani this shows the diligence and eagerness of Ibrahim alayhi salam towards his family and his offspring and his children. He supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 124th ayat, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. And remember when Ibrahim was tested by his Rabb with words, and he completed them, and he fulfilled them. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have made you an imam for the people. قَالَ, يعني قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and what about my offspring? يعني can they also share in this, what you have given to me? قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ. That, يعني the ظَالِمِينَ, the wrongdoers, and in most cases in the Qur'an, الظَّالِم, it is in reference to a shirk, mostly. He said that my covenant does not include the ظَالِمِينَ, the wrongdoers, the mushrikeen, the kuffar, and so on. وَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِهِ, and also Allah Azza wa Jalla said on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, yani supplicating for his family, for his children, for his offspring, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. And O our Rabb, make us, the two of us, yani he and his son, which one? Who is the oldest son of Ibrahim?
Ismail.
O Allah, make us, the both of us, Muslims in submission to you, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا, and our offspring also make them, أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ, a ummah of those who have submitted and surrendered to you. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, yani 128th ayat, and the previous ayat, I think I mentioned Surah Al-Baqarah, 124th ayat. And finally, the supplication of Ibrahim, listen to these supplications, memorize these supplications, and use them. And the final supplication, tremendous, great supplication of Ibrahim alayhi salam, بَلْ بَلَغَ مِنْ حِرْسِهِ عَلَى ذُرِّيَّتِهِ أَنَّهُ دَعَ رَبَّهُ, yani his hirs, his eagerness for his offspring, reached the level that he supplicated to his Rabb, رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَجَنُبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ. Yani, O my Rabb, make this balad safe and secure. Which balad he's talking about? Mecca. Make it safe and secure. وَجُنُوبَنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَسْنَامِ. And distance me and my sons or my children from worshipping the idols. وَجُنُوبَنِي, يعني distance me, يعني keep me far removed, not even to come near the worship of the idols. وَهَذَا مِنْ فِقْهِ الْخَلِيلِ, and this shows the understanding of Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam. بَلْ إِنَّ هَذَا مِنْ عَظَمِ الْبَرِّ حَيْثُ دَعَ رَبَّهُ أَنْ يَحْفَظَ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ بِهِ وَلِبَادَةِ الْأَسْنَامِ. And this, يعني, shows the greatness of the birr, the kindness of Ibrahim alayhi salam, such that he made dua, he supplicated to his Rabb to protect and preserve his offspring from disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, what did he ask Allah? The greatest thing that he asked for? Protect them from kufr, protect them from shirk. Might perhaps we ask Allah that our children get a college degree, or that they get a good job, that they become a doctor or engineer, or a famous person, or a rich person, or influential person, or whatever it is that we might be asking for. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, in his fiqh, his understanding of the important matters, he asked Allah to protect himself and his children from shirk, from worshipping idols. This is the greatest thing that we should want for our children, that they be saved from kufr and shirk. And this is the greatest thing that a child can offer to their parents, that they promise their parents that I will, yani, remain upon tawheed. Yani, if they didn't promise you that I'm going to finish college, if they didn't promise you that I'm going to put some money in the bank for you, if they promise you that I will continue to worship Allah and remain upon tawheed, this is the best thing that you can ask from them. Yani, whatever they want to do for you, the best thing that they could do for you is to worship Allah alone. And this is what you should ask Allah for them. وَقَالَ إِبْرَهِيمَ التَّيْمِيَ, we're going to stop here. رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ, he said, مَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَعْدَ الْخَلِيلِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. وَمَنْ يَأْمَنُ الْبَلَاءَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَعْدَ الْخَلِيلِ. Yani, who can feel safe from al-bala, from the evil, from the harm, from the trials after Ibrahim? Yani, if Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalil Allah, the great prophet of Allah, the father of Tawheed, if he didn't feel safe from shirk, the bala here is the shirk and kufr, if he didn't feel safe from it, who then should feel safe from it? Which one of us feels that we are secure? that we have arrived, that we're okay. Some of us think we made it because we are from Al-Firqa Al-Najiyah. Naam, the saved sect. Does that then mean that you personally are saved? I mean, does that mean that you have some guarantee that you are saved? No, it means that we are upon the way of the people that will be saved from the hellfire, inshallah. But it doesn't mean that any individual from amongst us, no matter how much we wave our flag, no matter what kind of slogans come from our mouth, or how we dress, how short our thobe, or how long our beard, and that is from the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ. But it doesn't mean that that's the guarantee of salvation. Rather, the guarantee of salvation is first and foremost in having the correct aqidah. And then acting upon that aqidah in our life, worshipping Allah alone, being obedient to Allah first and foremost, worshipping Allah with that which is due to Him, fulfilling His commands, avoiding His prohibitions, calling to Allah in the way of the Prophet ﷺ and the Salaf of this ummah. Da'wah, character, manners, all of this is part of salvation. Salvation is not just by using a certain name that you call yourself a Muslim, that I'm Sunni or Salafi. My name is Ahmed, or Muhammad, or Hamid, all these beautiful names, Mahmoud, Naam, all that's praiseworthy. But that's not enough. It requires more than that. It requires that we have the correct aqidah, and that requires knowledge, seeking knowledge, earnestly, actively, not taking a break. I need some rest. I'm not going to class today. I'm not memorizing Quran today. I don't have time to read a book today. We don't have any time for rest. We don't have a vacation. We don't have that kind of luxury. Rather, the person that wants to be saved from the hellfire, this is the 24-hour round the clocks. 55 days in the year, whatever. How many days in the Muslim calendar?
65.
Muslim calendar. I said, Muslim calendar. How many days? 355 or 54. Naam, every day. This is a lifetime task. This is a lifetime task. I'm saying that if Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking Allah, distance me, wajunubani wa baniya an na'bud al-asnam, yani keep me far removed and my children from worshipping the idols, the asnam, then how much more so should we be afraid that we can fall into this? We are not saved until we spend every moment and make every effort to worship Allah alone upon tawheed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in the Quran, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die except أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, يعني مُوَحِدُونَ. يعني the meaning of مُسْلِمُونَ here means مُوَحِدُونَ. Don't die except that you die upon Tawheed. Upon Tawheed. Not just with the name Muslim, but your life is upon Tawheed. We'll stop here inshallah, and next week we'll try to continue with the topic that we started here at the end. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I apologize for going over a few minutes, but Allahumma musta'an.